called and duty and rightful place in the church. I'm so pleased that Pat has shared with us on the update on the searching for an overseer here at Columns Baptist. It has been my deepest concern as I felt that burden of God's calling was wiped off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. May the Lord bless and keep these words within us. Let us pray. Heavenly God and Father, we give you thanks just now. We pray, O Father God, that as we looked into your word, let it be a reminder, O Father God, of your calling, of the gift that you have rest upon each and every one of us. Father, we pray, O Father God, that as we gather here to build and encourage one another, we pray your blessings upon us. Father, we pray, O Father God, that you will continue to speak through me. Continue to use me as an instrument, that your word will be dwelled amongst us. We pray, O Father, we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to remind you all that this 7th September would be recognized as Labor Day, whereas Labor Day has been varied between the 1st of September to the 7th of September here in the U.S. I've recognized that schools has been recently opened, and I looked at the little ones. I remember some years ago when my children were going to school for the very first time. It was a beautiful thing. At this time, we would recognize that some of the little ones will be in school for the very first time, while others may move up in a higher grade, some may not. I would say that looking at that, it brings a challenge to each and every one of those children. Not only the children, but the teachers. I've been driving the church bus for over 20 years, and even so, the bus drivers, it is a challenge. We have been preparing also for this coming harvest. As I looked around, I see the grains are coming up beautiful. But looking at what Jesus says, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Today, Labor Day is served as a dual purpose, honoring the history of American workers and marking the unofficial ending of summer. While May 1st, quote, May Day / International Workers' Day, end of quote, is celebrated globally to honor labor, the U.S. government deliberately choose the first Monday in September. This was done partly to fill a long gap between Independence Day and Thanksgiving, but primarily to avoid commemorating the violent 1886 Haymarket affairs in Chicago, which occur in early May. May 1st, 1886, around 350,000 workers across the U.S. went on strike demanding a standardized 8-hour workday. 8 hours for work, 8 hours for rest, and 8 hours for what we will. While the 1886 Haymarket strike was essentially a call to distribute heavy laborers more humanely across a broader workforce, today we recognize the challenge has flipped. Very interesting. The core struggle is a shortage of workers willing or available to fill necessary roles. In Matthew 9:37-38, when Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few, it was an agricultural metaphor to describe a spiritual crisis of opportunity and workforce. In verse 36 of that same chapter, Jesus was looking over crowds of people and felt deep compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. We see Christians all over the globe has suffered the same fate. We recognize that our young people have failed for technology and not been filling the pew. And every day they struggle to find the truth as they have been enlightened by many AI messages. One can say, what is the truth? Looking at the saying, the harvest is plentiful, means people are ready. In farming, a crop that is ripe for harvest must be gathered immediately, or it will rot or last. Jesus was pointing out that countless people were spiritually hungry, broken, ready to receive God's kingdom, forgiveness, and healing. This reflects to most of the people I'm acquainted with. The demands for spiritual care and truth is massive, which keeps me toiling day by day, praying sincerely for those who are most dear to me. And I'm certain that there are many amongst us who share the same faith. Looking at the few laborers in that passage highlights a shortage of workers, while the readiness of people was huge, the number of individuals willing to actively go out, teach, serve, and shepherd them was drastically inadequate. The problem was not a lack of respective heart, but a shortage of willing servant to do the groundwork. And I'm certain that most congregations share that same faith. Immediately after pointing out this imbalance, Jesus gave two direct responses. One, pray for workers. He told his followers to pray the Lord of harvest, therefore to send out laborers into his harvest. Mark 9:38 and Luke 10:2. Secondly, become the answer. I urge you, as Jesus commissioned his 12 disciples and sent them directly out into the field to heal, preach, and serve. Each day, as we gather here, our prayer request is so deeply on those who are in need of healing. Jesus commanded us to go out and pray one for another, laying your hands by faith on one another. Jesus was highlighting an urgent, time-sensitive opportunity. God has prepared people's heart to be gathered into his kingdom, but it requires active, compassionate believers to go out and do the work of reaching them. How many amongst us are willing to do so? God's blessing upon you if you work tirelessly doing so. Ephesians 2:10 stated, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them." I say that God has ordained you as his workmanship. Looking at the 1886 movement and the shift in shortage of laborers, one of the most critical structural issues facing churches is looming pastoral supply crisis. Very interesting. When you connect this trend back to the biblical metaphor of the harvest and laborers, it reveals how financially and demographic pressure shapes today's ministry landscape. The demographic shift. Over the past few decades, the average age of Protestant pastor has steadily climbed. One can describe it as retirement tsunami. As more and more baby boomers pastors reach retirement age, I find that not only the baby boomers age group is facing retirement age, Generation X is not too far behind, which myself fit in that category. As I go near 50 years old, I looked around in the pew and asked myself, where is our youth? As we look deeper into the harvest, not only here in North Dakota, but all across the globe. When I'm in Belize, I serve in a small community, a small church, Valley Gospel Chapel, and we share the same faith. Where is our young people? And we keep on laboring for the Lord. And I keep on encouraging you to do so. We recognize that thousands of pulpits are opening up simultaneously. It creates a demand that far exceeds the supply of incoming leaders. The few young people entering vocation ministry is not enough to fill these gaps. We see the shortage of laborers and volunteers within local congregations. It's no stranger to us in Belize, like you have now. In agriculture communities, everyone understands what happens when crops is ripened. A strict, limited window of time to gather them before weather damage its yield. And during harvest season, every available set of hand is needed to needed in the field. Truck drivers, equipment operators, and support crew. This reminds me of the shortage of pastors and deacons. The spiritual work operates under the same principle. I urge you not to remain passive spectators, but to view your workplace, schools, churches, and towns as fields where people are ready to be healed, teach, serve, and shepherd. Many of us very acquainted with what it's like in the field, the harvest. As I serve the Bernston, having 5,000 plus acres of crop is sure a lot of work. Whereas they see the need to bring me internationally here because the shortage of workers. And as we looked at the pulpit, we see the very same thing. I must say that I believe that there is someone in the midst of this congregation who God has been calling, who God has spoke so, to take the stand of leadership. Ever wonder why the struggle to find one to fill this post? Is because the Lord has already designated one, but he is still fearful. But Jesus says, pray. Pray for laborers. For those who were here last week or has tuned into the recording would know that Fred shared on the Bethsaida's pool. The word Bethsaida's means house of mercy. The church similarly is a place where people gathered with faith, anticipating God's intervention, spiritual renewal, and healing. Jesus asked that certain man, do you want to be well? He answered, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. Today we face the same. The laborers is few, and many are in need of healing then and even now. That Jesus did it on a Sabbath. I won't go into that. John 9:5. In verse 17, Jesus continued by saying, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Clearly indicated that the works never stops. In closing, I pray and I ask that you pray for the harvest investable led to stepping into the harvest field where God has placed you. As you hear the heavy machinery on the road and see the grain trucks rolling in this week, let it be a physical reminder of your spiritual calling. Pray for workers, but be prepared to roll up your sleeve and be one. May the Lord bless these words to our heart and may it remind us of our rightful place that God has called us. In Jesus' name.